You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
By the way, I've got two tickets for the game tonight. Anybody want them?
You can't give them away to the audience. You have to give them away to somebody that works here.
I'm talking about
these guys. Yeah. You want to go, Em?
Anybody want to go?
You're in post-COVID. Yeah.
It's a good game.
I'll take them.
By the way, Greg, who just scored?
Mason. I'll take him.
You'll go,
yeah.
Mace?
Yeah, I'll give him. I got friends that are huge Laker fans who have never been there before.
Okay. Yeah, let me go.
I'll give you his email. You want to sell.
So text me your friend, Sal, and name.
All right, John, you want to take us through what just happened right here?
All right, so Bergman, Emily, who scored?
Saudi Arabia scored.
So Mexico's screwed, right?
Yeah, basically. So it's 2-1 Mexico, but goal differential-wise, they're screwed.
There's 2 minutes to go. The reason this is so fascinating is I think that if we asked all four of us, name three players on Mexico and name three players on Saudi Arabia, we're 0-6. We're not coming up with any of these.
Carlos Vega.
Vela. First of all.
Even I know that.
Yeah, Vela. So you don't even know.
Lou Vega was a musician.
The biggest star in a team that plays 2 minutes from here.
Yeah, well, that was awesome. I had a V right.
Yeah. That's my point. Yet, driving in here, I could not turn it off. Mm. Bergman was so excited. He's talking about picking names out of a bowl. Travis is talking about big Ds, which I've never heard him talk about before.
Throwing Ds.
Yeah, and I'm like, what is happening here? And none of us can turn it off. Michael told me before this thing started, I'm not going to be able to turn it off. And you were right, man.
But did that idiot, Travis over there says that this is not the world's greatest or most popular sporting event.
No, hold on.
That's what you said. Don't backpedal like Deion Sanders now trying to cover Jerry Rice.
I agree with you that it's the most popular. It's not the greatest sporting event to me.
To the world.
Fine.
Are you the world?
In my world, yes. In my world, this is exciting, but the second this is over,
what do you think?
I'm good.
What do you think?
I'm a little jealous of Mason, even though he's been sick. Mace, you've been at home. You've been kind of holed up, but have you been watching these games?
Yeah, I've been watching all the games.
It's like wallpaper in my house. The Hallmark Channel has been benched in favor of the world. The Baywatch Channel has been iced
for
4 days.
Where are you going to get your Christmas spirit now that the Hallmark Channel
is
off?
Well, Michael and I are back on the road starting tomorrow, so I can load up there.
There you go. You've watched them all, Mace?
I've been watching it. It's on all the time. When they're playing, the games are on. Unfortunately, I wish they weren't starting so early, because I never
started
am
like
up,
1
as you know.
Well, the USA game on Saturday starts 7 in the morning, right?
Yeah.
Well, Michael, the good news is we'll be in D.C. or Milwaukee, and so for us it'll be 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
But
I also watched the FIFA documentary, finally. I think everybody else has watched it by now. Oh, my God, that is like
crooked
a
as the day is long.
Holy, just envelopes full of money to
by the way, so that's obvious.
That's it. Mexico's game just ended, so Argentina wins the group. Poland is the runner-up, and Mexico is out, and that coach is getting gassed.
Mace, what are you supposed to do when FIFA comes to Qatar? No, Qatar comes to FIFA and says, listen, we'll pay you $7 billion to host the Cup. What are you supposed to do?
Well, it doesn't work like that, Michael. The way it actually works is that the FIFA organizers, FIFA goes to each individual voter and says, here's an envelope full of money, vote for us. So they're bribing each of these countries.
Here's a million and a half for that vote.
And Michael, it's not just money. There's, shall I say, self-employed models? Oh. Or as Michael Irvin would say.
So how are you supposed to fight that,
Friends of the program.
Yes, friends of the program are involved.
So Mace, there's nothing you can do to fight that, right?
No, there is a way to fight.
You hire honest people.
Is?
Of course they're
honest people.
They're giving these people money. They're giving these countries money for the betterment of the game in their country. And those people that get it are using it for the betterment of themselves.
Yeah, but Mace, let's be honest here. In the case of Qatar, it's a lot like with LIV Golf. Isn't there sports washing going on here?
Of course
there
is.
There's no question. And that's why they went out and did it and did it the way they did. And, you know, and the IOC, I don't, you know.
Yeah, not much
IOC,
better.
IOC, FIFA, they're both
they're the same guys.
Yeah. I mean, the Salt Lake City games were bought by Salt Lake City. There's a reason the games were in China and Russia and all those. It's because of the dough. It's because of the money. But, and it's because they go around and they bribe the individual voters. They say, hey, CONCACAF guy, I'll give you this amount of money if you vote for us.
Mace,
were you
in that documentary, were you surprised by anything? Because I agree. I think there's it's kind of known. Not that it's okay, but it's known. So I'm watching this documentary. I'm saying to myself, yeah, I can see that happening in a lot of sports. Yeah, I can see that happening with corporations. Yeah, I can see that happening with...
So they had the FIFA documentary that you're talking about, Mace. I don't know how many of you guys listen to the Daily podcast from New York Times, right?
Yeah.
Every day they take one topic. They spend 10, 15, 20 minutes on it. And the one that was a couple of days ago was, hey, did you guys know that Qatar bought the World Cup? It's like, yeah. I mean, this is the way
correct
it's gone.
Professional response to that is... Duh.
How duh much? Is probably better than yeah. yeah along. So you guys will be in the East. So 10 o'clock,
yeah.
Not a big deal.
We might be on a plane. We have had the worst luck with travel this year. Michael, my guess is right when that game gets good is we're going to be in the air and our stupid Wi-Fi won't work and we'll be screwed.
Leaving from D.C. at that point?
No. We're in Milwaukee. We play Friday night in Milwaukee and on Saturday we fly. So we're probably going to be in the air going to D.C.
That's a day off.
Okay.
But I haven't looked. Have you looked at what time that flight is?
I think at 3 o'clock.
Well, that would help.
I mean, then Argentina and Poland advance to the round of 16. What's that mean for Mexico?
They're out.
And out.
Where's Jorge? I thought I saw him in here.
He sobbing. Left.
I think this is, I think what really stings for Mexico, he's a Mexican-American, so he would be able to back me up on this. What's really going to get them is that we made it out of the round of 16 and they didn't.
Is that our rival? Is our number one rival Mexico? Oh, yeah.
Mexico, soccer is a gigantic deal.
No, I get that.
And here, it's like the fifth sport on the totem pole.
When they play each other, it's a lot of hatred between the two.
And so for us to be like the fifth sport and we're moving on, and for them to put all their resources into it and not, until today, they haven't even scored a goal. And they say this coach who didn't win a game at the World Cup, whose birthday was Sunday, his birthday present is, you're fired. Yeah.
Unreal.
So they're going to probably bring in a coach who isn't Mexican to
Can we beat the Netherlands? Is that a one in a million? Is it a one in 10? What is it?
Well, we're the youngest team left. But, you know, Michael mentioned Johan Cruyff when he was reading that thing. Yeah. I was in Ireland for the World Cup in 1976, and Cruyff led his team all the way to the final.
The thing you got to watch, though, is the Netherlands has a reputation for being the biggest floppers in the world. They are the ultimate floppers. They flop constantly.
Trav loves that part of the game.
Why don't we send Vlade Divac over there to play for
coach
us?
Coach him up.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Travis, you better stop disrespecting the greatest player on the planet today, Lionel Messi. Deepen your voice.
No,
everything is AYSO.
I literally would pay money to hear you do a whole show as Messi. If you would do it.
Well, make me an offer.
I tried to do one segment as Mad Dog Russo and lost my voice for 3 days. If you did your Messi voice for a whole show, I don't think you come back from it.
Don't do Mad Dog during the Lakers season.
Well, first of all, here's the first thing that would have to happen for this to go down.
Yeah.
You would have to be my co-host that day.
Oh, I would love
because
it.
Because Al has not only does he not have he actively hates it.
Oh, I'm the exact opposite. It's my like one of my. Messi, it's like Mason doing his dog voice. I can't get enough of it.
So you're telling us that's how Messi talks to his wife when he wants to, you know,
his mother.
To his wife when he has wants to
when he when he wants to break out the big D.
Yeah, is that how he talks to? Hey, honey. Is that the way he talks, Travis? Come on.
First of all, we're talking about Saudi Arabia's defense.
Yeah. That's some big D right there that we're watching.
Throwing a lot of D, I believe.
So when Messi goes to an Argentinian restaurant and wants to order a steak, how does he order it?
I feel a little bit like a jukebox. Right? I'll take the ribeye. I'd like it medium. And I want mac and cheese on the side. With a little bit of veggie, and I want some ice cream before the meal starts.
Does he have a higher voice than his wife?
Apparently.
I just feel like I don't think I've ever heard him talk. I just feel like this is what it would sound like.
He's talking about wanting to squeeze his cheeks. He pats him on the head.
You know who has a deceptively high voice? Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah,
you heard him talk. Yeah. And a little froggy.
Yeah, a little of that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad that you like it.
So, if Messi was a quarterback, how would he call it the sickness?
That would be awesome.
That's pretty good.
If you had a quarterback who had to call the cadence and had a really super high pitched voice. There was a Seinfeld episode
the high talker
where the guy sounded like the girl, and so Jerry would call the apartment and say, "Hey Susan, it's Jerry. Listen, damn." And you get all offended.
Yeah, Travis. Yeah.
Mason, where do you come out on Messi?
I love the Messi impression, personally. I like most impressions, people who are trying to do stuff. Like, Sliwa, do you have any impressions? Do you have, like, one in the holster?
He does Cody Bellinger.
Cody's my guy. Sliwa does a Siri impression.
You're good with Cody. Cody's good.
Bellinger is the one. Somebody who's completely stoned out of their
mind. Cody Bellinger watching the end of Saudi Arabia, Mexico.
So are we out? Is that it? So what do we do now? Do we stay in Qatar? Or do we go back to Mexico City? Just somebody high.
Yeah. Did you guys see that one story that before we played Iran, that they told the Iran players, if you disrespect the regime, like if you wear any armband
or don't sing the anthem,
and if you don't sing the anthem, we will torture your family.
No.
Yeah.
That's a true story.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Somebody made that up.
No, that's true. They said, and apparently it's like been proven by six different people. Gosh.
Yeah, it's because they did it once. Remember, they didn't sing the anthem.
Right. In the opener, right, Mace?
And then they got a really stern warning and said, look, we know where your family lives. And they basically clamped up at that point.
Well, Michael, wasn't there a Colombian defenseman that let an own goal in and they killed him?
Andres Escobar went to a nightclub. Got into an argument in Colombia.
Bogota,
I think. Yeah, got into an argument with guys about the own goal, and they shot him outside the nightclub. People say that Pablo Escobar ordered the hit, but who knows?
Wow.
Yeah, they were mad at him because he scored an own goal.
No wonder soccer's like the fifth most important sport here. Yeah. Can you imagine that? A guy misses a free throw, and you'd take him out back of the nightclub and beat him to a pulp or worse? I mean, come on.
I can't imagine being one of the Mexican players right now and having come that close that many times to getting through. And then as the game is just about to end,
Saudi Arabia gets the soccer gods are cruel. And, Michael, I'm with you. They've got to change this offsides rule.
It's ridiculous.
It just kills the sport.
If the U.S.
They'd have had their third goal.
If the U.S. wins this championship, where does that put that in the pantheon of sports greats and upsets?
It goes down as one of the greatest.
It replaces the U.S. hockey team as the greatest upset in American sports history.
Yeah.
If the Americans winning,
they're not supposed to be even in the conversation.
Okay, but hold on a second. I got a question, and I really don't know the answer. I'm genuinely asking you guys. When the 1980 U.S. Olympic hockey team won the Olympics, they were certainly not the best team in that tournament. But they were
picked to win the bronze.
They were in medal. The Americans are not one of the three or four best teams.
No,
they're way further down the list, right?
Yeah. Matter of fact, they weren't even picked to make it out of the group stage.
Yeah.
They lose to Netherlands, you're still walking away saying, hey, that's a good World Cup for the United States.
Well, right? Frankly, there are lots of World Cups we don't even qualify for.
Including the last one.
So, I
was ready to come in here yesterday and basically say, I'm not watching the men anymore. I'm only going to watch the women.
The women win.
Yeah, watching the women. Although, okay, so I've always been an advocate for equal pay for the men's and women's soccer teams because it's a unique situation and the women have done so much more to promote the game than the men have. But then somebody tweeted at me yesterday and said, okay, Ireland, if you're so into equal pay, would you be in favor of NBA, WNBA equal pay? And I think it's a different situation in the sense that the men are the ones in basketball who have grown the sport, which is my whole argument for why the women deserved equal pay. Mm. But I can't get to an equal pay argument that works for the WNBA should be paid as much as the NBA. How about you guys?
Well, first of all, I need to know the economics of the soccer
side. Yeah, I was looking up, too. How much
okay,
does
so this will give this will give you guys one example.
I think the Men's World Cup generates $10 billion around there.
They should get the same percentage of the money that's generated.
Yeah, so this is the first year they've agreed to equal pay. Each team, the men's team and the women's team, when they made it out of the group stage, got $6.5 million. So $6.5 million to the men. U.S. men, $6.5 million to the U.S. women, $13 million total. The last two Women's World Cups that the U.S. won, 15 and 19, combined, they only made $6 million. So this one check they're going to get from the men is bigger than the last two combined.
I get that, and but if League A generates, round numbers, $10
billion, right,
and League B generates $10 million.
That's WNBA. NBA.
That's what I mean. Then the equal pay argument's asinine.
But in soccer,
that's not real life.
No,
but
Michael,
in soccer, I think it works because the women have done so much more to grow.
Do
the
they
game
generate
than the men.
As much revenue
well,
as the
I'm
men?
I'm trying to find that out.
Not even close.
World Cup, the women's World Cup does generate a lot of revenue. It's not on par with the men.
But I think
it is a huge amount.
I think it's millions compared to billions.
So how about equal percentages of the pot?
Sure.
Well, I think that's where they landed.
Yeah, that seems
so
fair.
Individually, the men are going to get bigger salaries, which is what goes on in the WA and the NBA.
But only
I would
because
have no problem.
The bigger pool of money is bigger. Right. That's it. It's for no other reason.
Michael, what do NBA players get roughly? What did Clay get last year for winning the title? What did each one of those Warriors players get?
They don't get as much as baseball players, but they probably got $300,000 bonus for getting all the way to the finals and winning.
So I would give that to the women. I'd say, look, you know, we own the WNBA. The men and the women get the same payment. But
talking
Clay
about
make
players should give it to the women?
No. The NBA should give it to the WNBA players. But I would not say, like, what'd Clay make
Wait
this year?
You said a WNBA player should get the same $300,000 as the men got?
For winning it, yeah.
How many people were at the WNBA championship? Like 5,000.
Right.
You can't do that.
Well, wait a minute, though. How do you even make an argument for equal pay for men and women?
There's a big enough pool in the NBA where that is nothing.
Right. Michael, I'm not saying, like, what's Clay's annual salary this year?
40.
All right. Nobody in the WNBA is making that.
The highest is 228.
Right. So give him a payment for winning it. And then the disparity exists in the annual salaries. That's what I would do.
Hey, they work 5 months a year, man. Doing fine. 5 months. You know what the average American makes?
Not enough.
Thank you. And they got to work 70 hours a week, 12 months a year.
Mason in Ireland with Michael Thompson coming up next. Go, Argentina.
Thanks, Little.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Ah! Ah! All right. What's up, people? It is Wednesday. No, I'm not off today.
Well, that's why they told me to come in early. They say Mace isn't going to show up.
Oh no!
Well, that's just what everyone thought.
Yeah, was that the betting favorite?
Yeah.
Was I wasn't going to be here?
Yeah, right. We all thought you were going to do what you did yesterday, and that is announce at 6 a.m. that you're out.
Yeah, I don't know what is the good time to announce that you're out. Day
before.
Yeah, no, I got bad last night. I'm almost as medicated as you are, John.
That's impossible.
Yeah,
but no,
I got the thing that sprays down the throat, thing that sprays up the nose. I got an antibiotic.
You sound good. NyQuil, you sound like yourself.
It's starting to come back. I'm starting to feel much, much better.
Good.
But I'm glad to be back. And the World Cup has been.
I can't turn it off.
Yeah,
I mean, and I don't know any of the players. It doesn't matter. It's the weirdest attraction. It's like I've got it on. I'm interested in who's winning, and I couldn't tell you two guys on every team. You know?
Yeah, no, me either. It's just, it's kind of, after a while you settle into it. It's almost like, by the way, it's great when you're stoned. It's just hypnotic. It's up and down, and it's up and down. And it's just like, there's a flow.
So
wait
a minute.
Really beautiful.
You're sick, but you still get stoned. Isn't that counterproductive?
It is not.
Okay. You want to be stoned if you're sick.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. I do not want to be feeling the feelings that I was
feeling.
Gotcha.
And also it's a gummy. It's a gummy and it's not smoking.
It's a gummy. I'm not smoking. I don't smoke anymore.
So Jorge is here. It was his birthday yesterday. Happy day after your birthday.
Happy day after. Happy day late.
Did you drink the tequila? Did you break the seal?
I had a couple shots, yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Thank you, guys.
You have your Team Mexico jersey on.
Yeah.
I said before you got in, that I think one thing that will irk fans of Team Mexico is that we advanced and they didn't.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yep, you're absolutely right. And that's because Team USA plays with no pressure.
Right.
No pressure whatsoever.
Yeah, if they lose, everybody goes, we suck.
It's cool.
Yeah.
But Mexico, like, they have this curse of the fifth game. They make it out of the group stage. They advance, but they never get that fifth game. And now they didn't even get past the group stage. It's just...
Yeah, so this coach is out.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He's Argentinian, so they'll find somebody.
This is the first time that Mexico hasn't gotten out of the group stage in 44 years.
Uh-huh. In 44 years?
Yep.
Oh, boy. Those guys might have to fly home on a cargo plane.
Wow.
You know, they gave Saudi Arabia Rolls Royces for beating Argentina. These guys ride home on a mule. You know, it's like,
hey, make them walk. Don't give them anything. Make them walk.
Hey, but I have two hail fellow well mets in the last 10 minutes.
In the last 10 minutes, two people have exited.
Well,
that I've
become aware of. Yeah. First one, Christine McVie, Fleetwood Mac, dead at 79.
Yeah, Christine McVie.
You know, Fleetwood Mac was touring as recently as this year.
Man.
So she passed away, and John Hadle, the old Rams quarterback, just passed
away. Oh yeah,
no, the old
at 82.
Chargers quarterback. He's no more for the Chargers.
No, he was a Rams quarterback after
he was Chuck Knox quarterback, which is the worst thing to be in the world because then all you do is turn around and hand it off
to Lawrence McCutcheon.
Yeah.
Oh, and there's a third one as of 20 minutes ago.
Who?
The Mexican national team.
Oh, man.
They're out.
They always come in threes.
I can say that.
Yes. Yes, you can. If I say it, I get canceled.
So I wanted to today. Okay, let me just throw this out there. I was offered, and I'm not going to say who.
Okay.
John, I'm not going to say who in my very high level fantasy basketball league.
Okay.
They offered me this trade: Anthony Davis for Nikola Jokic. Now, on the surface, at the beginning, I thought, oh, yeah, AD, he's tearing it up. He's unbelievable. He's playing at an all-time career best level. But Jokic is kind of a machine. Would you bet on AD the rest of the year? Because I think AD, if he stays healthy and if he does what he's doing, he's a better player for fantasy purposes than Jokic is.
Well, this will help you make the decision. Does your league award any points for defense? Like block shots, steals.
Block shots and steals.
Okay. Jokic is a great player. Michael will back me up.
Oh, yes.
He might be the best passing big man I've ever seen.
Ever.
But, Mace, he only plays one side of the court.
Yeah.
He doesn't defend.
No.
Now, the reason this particular conundrum is interesting is AD, how many games do you think AD is going to play this year? Because Jokic always plays a lot of games. Jokic is going to play 70-plus games. Micah, you think AD's going to play 70-plus games?
Yes. How many has he missed so far?
Three, I think.
Yeah, he missed no more than three.
So, Mace, you think he'll miss
only three more?
Yeah, I think so. Either out of rest or something.
To me, it seems like they're not going to play him in very many back-to-backs. They've only played him in one back-to-back so far. But there's only 11 of those this year. So that's your dilemma, Mace. You've got to decide... Davis, if they were both going to play the same amount of games, it's AD.
Yes.
Because he does more things. I don't think they're both going to play the same amount of games.
Yeah, I mean, isn't he questionable for tonight? Or he's...
He's probable.
He's probable. And
AD and LeBron are both probable. Yeah. Troy Brown is doubtful with a foot thing.
Yeah, you know, the injury thing just sketches me out. I don't think I'm going to do that trade. I think I'm going to keep Nikola Jokic.
Yeah, by the way, I don't think you can lose in this scenario.
You can lose if you trade for AD and then he gets hurt.
That's true. But, I mean, you're getting a great play. I'd be happy with either one of those guys.
They're both great players.
Who's offering the – you don't want to say who.
Yeah, I don't want to say who.
Okay. Yeah, because that would be part of it, too. If it's like Sedano or Trudell, they don't respect your basketball intelligence, so they're trying to swindle you.
Let me tell you something. I am getting so many trade offers right now.
Yeah, it's because they think you're – you know the old line about a poker table? If you can't spot the sucker, it's you.
They think you're the sucker,
but didn't you win it last year?
I won last year. Yeah, that's why I don't understand.
That's no respect for your achievement.
I'm not a dummy. I'm like adjacent. I'm in the league adjacent after winning that league. So I got this terrible feeling about Friday and this championship game about USC and Utah.
You know, ESPN's analytics say Utah's going to win.
Yeah, it's USC -3 in Vegas. Utah beat us 52-50.
I thought it was 45-44, something like that.
Yeah, I think it's 52-51.
Okay.
But And Cam Rising is really good at quarterback, and Utah has, for whatever reason, had our number a little bit this year. I think if we win, we're in the playoff. Maybe even because we're playing a ranked team, maybe we get help from TCU drops one or one of these. But I just got a bad feeling about this game.
It was 43-42 Utah.
Okay,
on October 15th.
One-point loss. Now they get a chance to avenge it. I think it's a game that USC will win, but I'm extremely nervous about it. Extremely nervous.
Yeah, Michael and I are going to miss that game because it's the exact same time as the Lakers-Bucks game.
Could have it on your iPad.
We'll be able to keep one eye on it.
Can you keep one eye on it while you're doing the game?
Sure. Yeah, that's what
during
we do.
Timeouts.
That's what we do when the Warriors play. Michael sets up an iPad over to the side so he can keep one eye on Clay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh, got it.
So. We could do it. But I think USC wins that game. Well, did you hear the largest bet of the whole season in college football at any legit casino was placed yesterday? I think it was at Caesars. A guy bet just under $1 million on USC on the money line. So if USC wins, he bet $963,000, and if they win on the money line, he gets like $600,000.
So just straight up. He's not betting the spread. He's betting straight up.
Correct. And he's not getting a full payout if he wins. He's getting like $600,000, which is...
You must have to be super rich to be doing things like that. You gotta be able to set a match to a pile of cash to be able to make a bet that big. You've got to be absolutely loaded. Is it like mega rich people that are making bets like that? Because normally mega rich people have their money in the stock market or wherever it is that they think they're going to be successful long term. This just has to be play money.
Even if I felt better than I've ever felt about any game.
Yep.
I would never bet that much money because I can't control it. Like, I thought the year you and I went to USC, Texas.
Yes.
I was absolutely 100% convinced USC was winning that game. Had I had Steve Ballmer money, I would have bet a lot of it on USC. I don't have that kind of money, so I didn't bet it, and I would have lost because Texas won that game.
Yep.
So I think USC is going to win on Friday, but who knows? You know, Utah's not terrible.
No, they're pretty good. I mean, I think they're 12th in the college football playoff rankings right now. It's not like USC got a gravy train into the end of the season. I mean, UCLA, very tough game. Notre Dame had been playing really good football under Marcus Freeman. This week, Utah, very good. Rising, the quarterback is really good for them. I think it'll be a really tough game. I think USC wins, and I think we go to the playoff. And I think, and I think you sent this story yesterday, I don't think there's any way that Caleb Williams doesn't win the Heisman Trophy now.
Yeah, I said yesterday, Mace, he's the best college quarterback I've seen since Andrew Luck. I think Andrew Luck was the best college quarterback I ever saw. Vince Young was close. Vince Young was like an unbelievable. Lamar Jackson was a really good college quarterback. I just think Caleb Williams is 2.0 on all those guys. I think he's going to be a great pro. I don't even know who. Michael, what's the comp for Caleb Williams in the NFL?
The comp is kind of Mahomes.
How big is he?
He's bigger than Mahomes.
Is he? He's 6'4"?
I'm going to look it up so I don't screw this up.
Looks like he's about 6'1".
The thing is, he's a good runner. He's fast, and he's got
Jalen Hurts?
But he's taller than Hurts.
Hurts is 6'3", 6'2", 6'3". How big is Caleb? Caleb looks like he's like, unless he looks squatty.
They say 6'1", 215.
Yeah, he's little. 6'1". So
yeah, maybe Mahomes is the comp. Or Jalen Hurts.
No, Mahomes is 6'4".
Is he really?
Yeah.
Mahomes is tall. Maybe, next to him. I didn't think so.
Maybe Russell Wilson is the comp.
Yeah, a young Russell Wilson, something like that. He ran around a lot. But more like Jalen Hurts. Hurts is a smooth runner, can pass. So that's what he reminds me of.
I heard somebody talking on ESPN the other day. Caleb can't go into the draft because he's only a sophomore.
Correct. He should sue them.
If he could, he'd be the number one pick now.
He's a true sophomore.
Right.
Yeah, true sophomore.
He played as a true freshman at Oklahoma.
When are they going to change that stupid, archaic rule?
Well, I think in football, it's because of body maturity. They don't want anybody that's 18 going into
the... Have you seen Zach Wilson's body? Looks like a male model.
Zach Wilson's going to be out of the league in a year.
Yeah, I don't know if he's going to make it very long. He may have to turn to modeling at some point. I'd have no problem with this particular rule, although Caleb Williams could certainly... I mean, I think he'd be the exception to the rule. I think he could step into an NFL locker room and be successful today. But good for us. We got him for another year. And I got this nugget came in. There is another Oklahoma wide receiver This guy is named...
Yeah, we talked about this yesterday. He's the number one wide receiver at Oklahoma, and he's entering the transfer portal, and it's rumored that he's coming to USC. Lincoln Riley recruited him to Oklahoma.
Right.
So they're just – Lincoln Riley is just, I mean, a shark.
He should get some defensive guys too.
He did last year.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Yeah. All right. Coming up next for you, Adam Sandler. I actually got to watch a movie that Adam Sandler was in, and I pulled a speech that I found to be very motivating, plus another speech Adam Sandler gave, which was absolutely hilarious. This next segment is going to be devoted to Adam Sandler.
Excellent.
Nathan in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Everybody's in the house today. Michael Thompson's hanging out. I'm at home. Everybody else is at work. Game tonight, Lakers versus Portland tonight, 7:30 at Crypto.com Arena. Lakers are actually, I've got them as 5.5-point favorites.
Well, I got to tell you too, Mace, that was an exciting game against the Pacers, man. Those two teams, even though the Lakers lost a heartbreaker, that was a fun game. Both teams played well. It was a fast-paced game. That kid, Nebhard, I made the prediction, I remember I said, don't let Nebhard get a shot.
I know.
I said, he's the one guy because he's been
and by the way,
I've
gone back and watched that play like three times. LeBron, he may even have gotten a fingertip on it. Mm-hmm. Nebhard got that off just in time.
Yep.
And Mace, it was a really fun night. Some kid hit a half-court shot for $75,000.
Jamie Murray.
Yeah.
He was on NBA Today yesterday.
Yeah. He came up with Michael and I and did an interview. Super nice guy. Yeah. And then Malika had him on yesterday. The fan of the game was a Marine veteran woman who had a prosthetic leg who, when the camera went on her, she took her leg off, poured a beer in it, and drank out of her prosthetic leg. So there was just a really fun atmosphere at that game. And then the Lakers just blew up a huge fourth-quarter lead.
Yeah.
It was like an ice sculpture. It was just like watching the lead melt away as it fell apart. I didn't know about the woman who drank the thing out of her leg.
Yeah, it was great. Crazy. There once was a time where the Lakers probably like would have been, oh, we can't put that on the scoreboard, and they actually ran the other way too. They made her fan of the game. She got a standing ovation. That's it was really cool.
Yeah,
so that was great. And by the way, you mentioned Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
I'm going to say something that people are going to think is crazy, but 90% of Adam Sandler movies are fantastic. They're not good. They're great. Think about it. You played something from The Wedding Singer.
Yeah.
That's a great movie.
Great
Happy
movie.
Gilmore, great movie.
Fantastic.
Big Daddy, great movie.
Yes.
I mean, he has some duds. I'll give you that. Mr. Deeds, we could do without. Little Nicky was bad. But 90% of the time, if Sandler's in a movie, it's good. Now, which one did you watch?
I watched Hustle, not seen.
Which is great.
Which is a great movie. And nice Anthony Edwards performance. And then it's Juancho Gomez.
Hernan Gomez, who was really good. And there's a bunch of NBA cameos in there. There's a former Laker assistant, Greg St. Jean, who's got he's the coach that leaves Hernan Gomez in the game when Adam Sandler's yelling at him to take him out. So I know a lot of people that were in that movie, but I thought that movie was great. Heidi Gardner from SNL
in a
non-comedic role, and she was great.
I liked her very much. Yeah, I actually thought that movie was really, really good. I'm surprised I waited so long to watch it. I read an article about it yesterday because people are talking about Adam Sandler being up for an Oscar for that movie. So here's a speech I want to play for you guys.
Okay, so let me tell you, I have two of them. One is comedian speech, and one is Do You Love This Game? Which one do you want?
Do You Love This Game is the speech.
Okay, you
this
ready?
This is from the movie, yes.
Okay.
Do you love this game? I mean, love it with your whole heart. Because if you don't, let's not even bother. Let's not open that door. They're just going to slam it right in our face. I love this game. I live this game. And there's 1,000 other guys waiting in the wings who are obsessed with this game. Obsession's going to be talent every time. You got all the talent in the world, but are you obsessed? Is it all you ever think about? Let's face it, it's you against you out there. When you walk on that court, you have to think, I am the best guy out there. I don't care if LeBron's playing. So let me ask you again. Do you love this game?
Yes.
Boy, you have opened a door I didn't know you were going to open today, but...
I love that obsession beats talent every time.
Well, it's not true, but here's the thing. If you have talent...
And you're obsessed,
then you're Kobe.
Yep.
Then you're LeBron. If you can marry those two things he's talking about, rather, he said, obsession beats talent every time. I know guys who are obsessed with basketball. They're just not that good. They just don't have the talent that the other guys got. But, you know who pops into my head, Michael? Bill Burka has had a lifetime. Oh, he's in his 90s. He's just obsessed with the game. He loves the game. You can sit next to Burt in the media room, and you can talk to him about pick and rolls. You can talk to him about, the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, all the way up until today. He's, what is he, Michael, now 94 and
something
still
like
going?
That. Yeah,
still on the Laker payroll?
Yep, still scouts.
That's a guy who loves the game like Adam Sandler did in Hustle. But the point I was going to make is Mace, on every team in the league, there are guys who love the game and are obsessed with it, and all they think about is getting better. And there are guys that love the life. Mm-hmm. There's a difference. If you love the life, you're the guy that can't shower fast enough to get out to a nightclub, that are DMing Instagram models every day trying to hook up, who are the last ones to practice and the first one to leave. But they have so much talent that they can stay in the league for a few years. But the guys who get obsessed, and Michael, you talk about this a lot. I know it's a speech you've given to Clay and Trace.
Yeah.
That you have to respect your body and mm-hmm. your place in the game.
Yep.
In other words,
the two best examples are Ronaldo and LeBron. At their age, look how high they're performing. Look what Ronaldo, look at the offer he just got at 37 years of age.
Yeah, and look at the amount of money LeBron puts into his body every year just training. I mean, that's the secret of his success is that he invests in himself and he works out nonstop. Yep.
Well, the other thing LeBron always says that I think is really smart is he keeps the main thing the main thing. In other words, he knows that the business is going to follow the basketball. So that's why he spends $1 million on his body and he's just a workout freak and he's doing things at 38 that nobody's ever done before because he prioritizes fitness and health above all else. I mean, the guy's house looks like a home gym with a cryo chamber in it.
Yeah,
so
and by the way,
a good example.
Sandler is so good in that movie. That movie is produced by LeBron James and Maverick Carter.
Yeah, I thought that movie was great. He's got another sports movie coming out next year in which he is I'm trying to remember if he's a scout or an assistant coach, but he's going to stay in that genre and do another one next year. So
I hope they do. He's already being recognized for this part, John. And he was recognized at the Gotham Awards in New York, which is like one of those places where all the showbiz celebrities get together and hand each other trophies. Adam Sandler gave a speech, and here I'm going to play just a little bit of it. He says that he didn't want to write the speech. His daughters wanted to write the speech for him. So here he is. This is just a chunk of it. Him accepting his award at the Gotham Awards earlier this week.
Daddy Sandler's film career began in 1988, formed by two guiding principles. People in prison need movies too. And TBS needs content to show between all them basketball games. He went on to make the comedic classics Billy Madison. Thank you.
Underrated.
Happy Gilmore, The Wedding Singer, The Waterboy, Big Daddy, Which one is Big Daddy again? We asked him one time. The movie with the little cutie who grows up to be Cole and Dylan Sprouse? Daddy responded, I guess you could remember it as such. Or you could remember it as the movie that paid for this house. And your grandma's house. And your other grandma's house. Rob Schneider's house. And your braces. And Rob Schneider's braces.
And that's just part of the speech. It is so damn funny. I'm a huge Adam Sandler fan, and he is more than just the guy that we've come to know from Happy Gilmore. And he's like a real actor. Like, I love that speech that he gives. It's not exactly you fight for that inch, but it's a really good motivational speech, I think. Anyway, I wanted to give a shout out.
Some of his non-comedies are really good. Like, I liked Uncut Gems a lot.
Oh my God, Uncut Gems is unbelievable. Crazy movie.
Did you ever see Funny People?
Funny People I saw. That's a Judd Apatow movie. Yeah. Actually, Sue Kolinsky was in that.
Yeah, so I think he's... Adam Sandler is really underrated in terms of producing movies that are good and rewatchable and fun.
Yeah. All right, coming up next for you, going to spin the wheel of questions, and then we'll hear from Charles Barkley about the World Cup. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Okay, my wheel today, and... we're going to have to talk this one through.
Okay.
If you were to travel 500 years back in time with only the clothes on your back, what would you do or say to prove that you were from the future?
That's
so you travel question. Back 500 years. That's
wow. That's back in the 1700s.
So you travel back to the 1700s. You're from 500 years ahead. How do you prove to somebody in the 1700s that you're from the future?
1500s.
Yeah. So you would have to rely on your knowledge of world history, because you could tell them things that haven't happened yet.
But they wouldn't know that.
But when those things happened...
Yeah, but that's not going to happen in their lifetime.
No, but something from the 1500s.
Well, what do you know happened in the 1500s?
That's a good question.
See? some kind of gadget you got to...
But you only have the clothes on your back.
Only the clothes.
Something that you could make. I was thinking something that you could make that would show that you were
ahead of your
time.
Yeah, the wheels invented by 1500.
Wheels invented. Fire was discovered. Invented.
We all have shoelaces on our shoes.
They had shoelaces.
The Vikings and stuff had shoelaces to tie up their shoes.
Did they, Vikings?
I have a golf shirt on, so there's no such thing as golf back then, right?
Golf was invented like hundreds of years ago.
The clothes you're wearing be a totally different style of theirs, so maybe that'll be the proof.
Yeah, it would be a total different style. That's true.
I have a belt on.
Your glasses, Michael?
Yeah, what about
your glasses?
They had glasses back in the 1500s. They were like,
did they have glasses back in the 1500s? Yeah, how do you know so much about the 1500s?
He was born back then.
I know about the Renaissance era. I watch that stuff. Plus, it's in movies.
What about belts? Did they have belts?
They had belts, of course.
I know nothing about the 1500s.
No, they literally did live in caves. No. What do you mean?
That was caves.
How about my wallet?
No, 1500 wasn't caves. 1500 was like...
lanterns and candles and stone houses and everything.
When was medieval times?
Okay, so I just Googled.
It's around that time.
I just Googled stuff from the 1500s. Right. Okay, here's what came up. In 1500, the first flush toilets appeared.
Okay, so that's off the board.
Okay.
You can't make a flush toilet.
1510, Da Vinci designs a horizontal water wheel, and the pocket watch was invented.
Oh, they already had a watch.
Etching came in 1513.
A pen.
In 1568, bottled beer invented in London.
Damn, they were at that early,
yeah,
huh?
See, they were advanced civilizations.
Map projection in 1569.
Couldn't you tell them the earth is round? Do they already know the earth was round?
Could I have a 9mm on me? I bet you didn't have that.
Come on.
Bayonet.
Well, they had bayonets, swords and all that stuff. And the Chinese had gunpowder. They probably had cannons and stuff.
Okay. A microscope was invented.
Already had a microscope in the 1500s?
In 1590, it was invented.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Galileo, in 1593, invented a thermometer.
Now, just the clothes. You don't have any, paraphernalia.
Yeah, Jorge had a good idea. If Jorge shows him his wallet,
Yeah.
Only a lot of people carried pouches. People carried pouches.
No, but inside your wallet, you have a credit card. They don't have that.
Because, well, you know, the average person, when you say you're from the future, will think you're crazy.
Yeah, your ID.
Exactly.
Because they wouldn't have picture ID back
your
then.
Your ID.
Yeah.
I don't think you can bring your ID, but basically.
Is that everything I'm wearing?
Everything you're wearing.
No, he said clothes on your
back. Clothes on your back.
Yeah. If you got your wallet in your pocket, yeah.
Money. Yeah, let's it would make be it, really let's tough. Make it harder. No wallet. Just have your clothes.
Just the clothes. Nothing else. You're going
can
through
you
TSA.
Tell them something
like you're going through TSA.
About TSA yet?
Yeah. I saw like you're going through TSA.
How about this?
The United States wasn't even born yet.
That's right.
How about this? I'm wearing jeans. I'm sure some of you are wearing jeans. Jeans were invented in 1873.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, like I said, the clothes would have to be your proof.
Yeah.
I think that's the only way. Otherwise, you're just an idiot ranting and raving about being from the future, right?
Right.
There's like no other way. Hey, I'm from 500 years ago.
You're Doc Brown from Back to the Future.
Exactly.
If you were 500 years ahead, say 2500, and you came back to now, what would you tell us?
2500 and I came back to now?
So you've been 500 years
ahead.
Into the future.
Now you're back.
Well, we don't know
here.
What the world's going to look like then.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So what would you want somebody to tell you?
Well, Mason's going to have a chip in his brain.
Yeah, I want a chip in my brain.
But he's going to be killed by a robot San Francisco rogue police robot.
No. We're getting to that story, too. I told you guys that's coming. I told you RoboDog is coming.
And we told you that they would start killing people.
And did you see they approved deadly force?
Yes! What? I'm good with that.
What are you talking about?
I'm totally good with it. It's a remote control. It's a joystick.
Yeah.
It's somebody in a room. Actually, it's an officer.
Wait till the bad guys get control of that joystick.
It's a police officer on remote control operating this dog that hopefully doesn't have to use lethal force. But would you approach a jewelry store and try to rob it if you saw a RoboDog outside? No.
Just wait for those wires to cross just a little bit, and all of a sudden it turns around and starts shooting the police officers.
Yeah, but Mace, you say it's a police officer. I mean, as we learned from George Floyd, sometimes the police officers are bad guys. And now you're giving them a robot killer dog.
Yeah, I feel like it's safer to the officers if they're operating a RoboDog as opposed to going out
there.
Well,
that's themselves. True. Yeah, they'll shoot the RoboDog instead of
Michael,
the person.
Michael, do you understand this concept? It's a robot dog. Mm-hmm. It looks a little intimidating.
Yeah.
And it's armed, okay? So you can plant that dog.
So it can kill you. And San Francisco is going to deploy them with an order that they are approved to use deadly force.
They are approved to use deadly force.
The only time I would see those used is if you got to go into a situation where there's hostages and someone's shooting. But like just to stop somebody on the street or if there's like endanger the public, yeah, I don't mind you going into a house where you don't have to send an officer in there and risk getting shot. Send a robot in and take the perpetrator out. I don't have any problem with that.
Yeah, I don't either.
It's like we use drones now to kill terrorists, Ireland. You're not against that, are you?
No.
There you go.
I mean, if there's a park where everybody's dealing drugs, if you put a RoboDog there, doesn't that eliminate it completely?
Yeah, you don't want to shoot them.
Yeah, though. But what, you want to kill the drug
No, but you're on camera all the time.
Yeah,
wherever
right.
the
yeah.
RoboDog is, you're
yeah.
on camera.
It will deter
there's an
crime.
Officer looking
yeah.
at you.
It will deter crime, sure.
Yeah, I think it'll be an excellent deterrent.
Yeah.
I think Mason's going to buy one of these RoboDogs and just sick it on his enemies. You're just going to use it as a spy. How about that? Like somebody wrongs you, you send the RoboDog over there
send
to make
the
their
RoboDog
life
over?
A living hell.
Yeah. Very intimidating.
You could have sent the RoboDog in to get that beeper.
The next door?
Next door, yeah.
You're still a B&E. Still a B&E.
Really?
Yeah.
How are you going to prosecute the dog, though?
You're right. Whoever's operating the dog is the one that's at
no,
fault,
you could
right?
Say
it's
dog...
a little bit like a drone.
Nope, you could just say the dog went rogue.
The dog went rogue.
On its own. You lost control of the dog. Some kind of electrical mix-up.
Yeah, I'm telling you, you guys are technophobes. Michael, you sound a little more open to it than these guys.
Oh, yeah,
guys
I love
these
technology.
These guys are scared to death.
Yeah, I love technology. Yeah, robot dogs, if they can, like I said, they've already got drones that can hover over terrorists and take them out. So if you got something like this to help stop crime, I'm all for it.
Yeah, when you think about it,
I love technology. You need me to get the NBA app on your iPad.
That's true. But I love it when it happens, when I can make it work. That's right. Like the technology we didn't have on our flight from San Antonio.
Yeah. Whenever Michael has like a technological breakdown, I start explaining to him, I just give me your phone.
Yeah.
And I hand it back to him. Here, watch the game.
Exactly.
I got a couple of tweets here. Jay says, tell Mace to stop reading from his list of questions from last year. Let me tell you something, Jay. You try day after day, 5 days a week, come up with a new hypothetical question. It's very easy. I think they're in the rinse and repeat mode, aren't they?
Well, we definitely have doubled up on questions over the years.
Yeah,
sure.
I mean, it's new. We have different answers when they come up. Here's on Caleb Williams. This is Mahomes is 6'2", 225 with a 4.80 time. Caleb Williams is 6'1", 215 with a 4.57 40 time. Mm. So the size is comparable, height is comparable, and potentially Caleb is a little bit faster. Here's Jonathan Watson. I like Caleb, but he's not the best quarterback in USC history. It's Matt Leinart, a Heisman and a champion. Let's see how Caleb does at the end of his first season.
Well, Caleb's about to get the Heisman.
Yes.
They're going to be in the running for the title. And he's right. If you're measuring this on team success, all right, like how good was your team when you were the quarterback? Matt Leinart is arguably not just the greatest USC quarterback in history, but the greatest college quarterback ever. He started for 2 years. The first year they won the national title and he won the Heisman.
Right.
The next year they went 12-0 until they lost to Texas in the final game. I think his record as a starter was something like 23-1.
Yeah, but did he put up great numbers or he just was part of a great team?
He probably part of a great team. That's the point I'm trying to make. That if you measure it by team success, this guy's right. Matt Leinart, you'd be hard pressed to find anybody that did as good as he did.
But in terms of just being a quarterback and being a specimen and being that athlete, I think that Caleb Williams is a better athlete than Matt Leinart.
Caleb is this year. Caleb threw for more touchdowns, fewer interceptions, and ran for more yards than Matt ever did.
Mel Kiper said that the greatest quarterback he ever seen was Andrew Luck at Stanford.
Well, I said the same thing, but Andrew Luck didn't have any team success. Well, they never even played.
Players around him. Imagine if Andrew Luck was on that team that Matt Leinart had.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. What determines if you're a great college quarterback? If your team wins, or if you put up,
if you are carrying
huge
a team
numbers
on your back, which Andrew Luck did at Stanford. Matt Ryan, as good as he was,
but
he
I would
didn't
argue Caleb
that.
Williams is doing that.
Yeah,
you know, he's
but
spreading
I'll
the ball.
I'll tell you the thing about Caleb Williams
field.
Is he doesn't have Reggie Bush and he doesn't have
Lindell
White. Yeah. He doesn't have those horse running backs,
right?
Especially now since Travis Dye is out, and he's still finding a way to do it. I mean, USC will score with anybody, and I've never seen anybody more calm and composed in the pocket as Caleb Williams.
Mace,
it's
almost
surreal.
Behooves USC for the play to break down.
100%.
That's when Caleb gets really dangerous. Like in a straight drop back.
What does he run like? Does he run like Jalen Hurts, who's very deceptive in his running?
Yeah.
He's not as elusive as Lamar, is he?
No, he's not as fast as Lamar, but he's I would argue as elusive. Yeah, like you can't bring him down. He never gets hit.
And what happens is when he scrambles around enough, and you know he eats up yard. You know, he runs 50 yards.
He takes huge
the line
strides
of scrimmage,
too.
Huge strides, and all of a sudden the receivers all break to their own patterns, and then it's just like playing catch. Hey, I'm going to go to this spot, and Caleb throws it to that spot. They're almost better once the play all sort of dissolves and falls apart, because then Caleb is able to find guys like Addison and Mario Williams and those guys and Rice and all those guys in their own patterns trying to make a play.
Hey,
so,
Mace, here's some potentially good news for you. This is from Arash. He just tweeted at Arash Markazi.
Okay.
Friday's Pac-12 championship game between USC and Utah is the most expensive on record, according to brokers. The average ticket price is $177, 36% higher than last year's game. But here's the good news. 67% of all purchases are coming from California, only 7% from Utah.
Nice.
So the game's at the Raiders Stadium in Vegas, but it sounds like it's going to be more like an SC home game.
Yeah, a lot of Trojan fans making the trip to Vegas for the weekend. Vegas is a much better spot than – I think they had it at Levi Stadium up north.
Yeah, I would put it at SoFi, but now they probably won't because SC and UCLA are leaving.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. All right, coming up next for you, Charles Barkley, all in on the U.S. men's national team. We will get to that. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.